Good morning. It is a new year, so in that I say Happy New Year, and we pray that it would be blessed, that it would be encouraging, and that we could be strengthened, that's for sure. And I pray that you all had an awesome Christmas season, and that you had a great time with fellowship and family. And we know that, yes, as we've been talking about, or people have been talking about, and it seems monotonous to continue to talk about it, but there are different times that we're living in, there's no doubt about it. And with that being said, I don't think there's anything new under the sun. I just really believe that no matter what, we've kind of all gone through moments of difficulty in our life. And one of the things that kind of hit me was when I was a child, maybe you didn't go through this, but I know I did. I'm not ragging on anybody, but I didn't have a lot of parents around. So when I got sick, you generally stayed home by yourself. And you sat on the couch and because mom and dad had to work. But the fact of it is, I remember every time that I got sick, I would say, I never appreciated feeling good. You know, you get the flu and you forget what it's like to feel good. And you always say, well, why didn't I appreciate that more? Well, in our walk of life, sometimes the difficult times are actually what allow us to appreciate what we truly do have. And it doesn't have to be just about what we've been talking about now. It can be about any aspect of your life. You never realize what it's like to be able to get up and run across your house to go get something until either your foot or your back or something is hurting. And then you realize, I took that for granted many times. The scripture tells us that gold is never worth anything until it's tried by the fire. And that fire brings out the impurities and makes it pure gold. And I know that we've all had instances like that in our life. So for our second Sunday of Christmas, I'm going to read from the book of Hosea, and I'm not going to pretend that we could cover the whole book. I would highly recommend that when you're at home and you're doing your reading and your study, as I know we all do, that you would take time to actually read this and go through this book. It's kind of a interesting book. Beautiful is a word, but it's real. It's very real. So I'm going to read from Hosea, and I'm going to read the last chapter, because honestly, I didn't really want to read the beginning chapters. It was just too real for me at the moment. So I'm going to read from chapter 14, and I'm going to read the entire chapter, which is only 9 verses. You can remain seated. And I'm going to read this in Jesus' name. Hosea chapter 14. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord, and say to him, take away all iniquity, accept what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We shall not ride on horses. We shall say no more our God to the work of our hands. In you the orphans find mercy. I will heal the apostasy and love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew of Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root in the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive, and his fragrance like the Lebanon. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like grain. They shall blossom like a vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am the evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right and upright. Walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us, and we don't claim to have any powerful understanding of ourselves. Rather, Father, we look to you for the answers. We look to you for the encouragement. And Father, we look to you to turn our hearts, to encourage us, that no matter what may be taking place around us, whether it be health issues, or even as brother has spoken, financial issues, or if it is spiritual battles, we pray that you would just continually reveal yourself, that we would look to you, not to our hands, not to man, but Father, to you. Sanctify us in this truth, because we know your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you a little reading here about why Hosea is writing and about Ephraim. Actually, this is the northern part of Israel that would be called Ephraim and also Jacob. And it was a very rich area. That would be the word, prosperous area. It was doing quite well. It had a lot of extras. We don't know much about the person of Hosea, but we do know his character. Like his contemporary of Amos, he prophesied in the northern kingdom of Israel. And this is about the same time that Isaiah and Micah were prophesying in the southern kingdom of Judah. And the northern kingdom was living in great material prosperity. There's no doubt about that. And sadly, accompanying with this was spiritual bankruptcy. They were under King Jeroboam II. He served from 782 to 753 BC. The military strength of this northern kingdom brought a lot of pride to the people. But by 732 BC, Damascus had fallen to the Assyrians. And by 722, the capital of Israel, Samaria, had fell, and the people would deported. And some specific sins you can find that are actually laced throughout this writing. And very much idolatry was one of them. Putting pride in what you could produce was another one. Putting trust in other relationships aside from God more on political realms was another one. And so it's just a very interesting book with a lot of different layouts. Hosea was unlike other prophets. His message was delivered by the actions of his life, also with his word. And that's what we see. See, Hosea, he was told by God to take a woman of ill report as a wife. And this was going to cause him heartache. This woman was more or less of a prostitute. We're not really sure if she had done this before or after, but she had gotten involved in extramarital affairs. And I know, Pastor, why are you telling us this depressing stuff? Because we want to pretend it doesn't exist. Life is messy. Life is real. And I'm not saying that we focus on this, but what I'm saying is God turned around and he said to Hosea, you know what? I've been there. I've been there for the children of Israel. I have blessed them. I have brought them through hard times. I brought them to prosperity. I have blessed them in many different ways. But what they end up doing, as humans often do, is we take for granted what God has done for us, and we turn around and we start to worship the items around us more than we do God himself. And what he calls this is something that too many times in our wax sense, when we hear about adultery in the Old Testament, we run to the physical affairs of men and women. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, it really is talking about spiritual adultery, where you're cheating on God. And this example that Hosea was called to give was one of who receives a bride, but the bride does not remain true to him. See, in our America now, we just say, well, then we divorce the woman and we're done. And there's a part of Scripture that we, if we read the whole book, that would bring that out very strongly. That God was about to do this. But God is gracious. And Hosea gives that example because he turns around and he restores his wife. And God is gracious to us. And he continually restores our relationship with him. Because he is a patient and he is a loving God. He desires in reality for restoration for each and every one of us. This book shows that so powerfully. The problem is, I think, and I mean, trust me, I'm no brain. But the problem becomes when we turn around and we think a book like Hosea is nothing but a book of history. And we count that basically as a book of history, and we think it has nothing to do with us today. And that to me is a shame. Because what this book shows is the integrity of who our God is. And it should call to us, even in this day and age, to turn and to see who our God is. He is a gracious and a loving God. We see that actually now this northern kingdom was trying to now, after Assyria comes in, after about 25 years, and takes and decimates the area, they're trying to build this relationship with them so that maybe, just maybe, they can find some peace and have some equality with them. But their peace did not come from any army on earth. Their peace comes from God the Father. See, what this book really shows is God is always continuously there for us. God continually provides, God continually gives. In fact, in about chapter 10, it talks about how God blessed this area. He blessed Ephraim immensely. And they saw it as their own work. They saw it not from the hand of God, but they built themselves up all the more and the more. We find that even in the New Testament at times. There's that example that Jesus gives of that great farmer that had all these great crops and this great bounty, right? And he turns around and he says, man, I don't have enough room for any of this stuff. Well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take and I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns and I'm going to fill them up. And then I'll be able to sit back and I'll be able to look at my God belly and relax. And then the scripture says, oh, you fool. Don't you know that your soul is required of you this evening? And then whose things will these things be? We put our trust sometimes in the wrong area. And that's for all of us. That's for me. I am sure that still speaks to you. And it immensely speaks into this world. Where are our eyes fixed? So after going through all this difficulty, after going through all this struggle, where God in reality was ready to cut off the children of Israel, he turns. And his vengeance, if we could say, is stayed. And there is a call. Sometimes we look out into our world and we think, well, this is it. We're done. How do we know this isn't just the beginning? How do we know that God in reality doesn't have great things planned for us? But where's the voice of the people? Where's the voice of the people in prayer to God the Father? Where is the voice of the people when they come out and speak truth in a world that doesn't want to hear it? We're slowly being trained, whether you want to agree it or not. We're slowly being trained. The more and more that this world robs from us, oftentimes we continue just to give in. And you might think I'm crazy. But there's experiments out there that they can take and they can boil frogs alive. And I know you've heard this statement before. But it's so true. See, you don't throw a frog into a hot thing of water. That thing will hop out of there so fast you can't imagine it. But what you do is you turn the heat up slowly over a period of time. And he gets used to it. And he'll stay in there until he dies. Even my old buddy Zig Ziglar would talk about training fleas. How do you train a flea? How do you get them to only jump so high? You put a lid on it. And those buggers will bounce and bounce and bounce and bounce and hit their head 100,000 times or whatever it takes, but eventually they catch on. And they stop jumping any higher than that lid. And eventually you take that lid off and those fleas will stay in that jar for the rest of their life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you think that I'm going totally political on you, and I'm not. See, this is where our mind goes, and if you're not, then praise God. The world has told us that God does not exist. The world has told us that science is so much more powerful than God, and anyone that believes in that stuff is crazy. The world has told us that we don't have a voice. The world has told us that we can't speak truth anymore. We turn around and we are being desensitized in all these areas all the time. Where really, we turn around and understand our God is a supreme God. Our God sits upon a throne that created all things that men are still trying to figure out. Our God is powerful and mighty. And our God has blessed us immensely. And yes, we have a lot of great technology. Yes, we have a lot of great things in this world that God has blessed man with the ability to do. And I'm thankful for many of them. There's no doubt about it. But those things, those men, those issues are not God. When we enter into this new year, we can stand in awe at what man has done. But the fact of it is, we should always stand in reverence for what God has given. The abilities, the grace, and life. Seems man can copy it, but can man create it out of nothing? The children of Ephraim, Hosea continued to preach, and he continued to speak, basically for around 25 years. He brought a message that was very powerful. Stop looking to your own ability. Stop looking to man and look to God. The message hasn't changed. We don't live in an age now where somehow we're at 2021 and we have everything figured out and science and reality has corrected everything that we've been in error of. Has science brought us a lot of great things? Absolutely. I won't deny that. But God has given us life. God has given us the ability to live. And what is our purpose to live? Are we living for science? Or do we live for Him? Do we praise science? Or do we praise Him? Do we look for governments to save us? Or do we look to Him? This is the question that we have to ask. And that these children and Ephraim, they were looking everywhere else. But God laid it all out for them. He told them exactly what would take place. And He sent prophets to preach this and to speak this and to encourage them. So then the answer comes back to the text that we have today. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. We could preach this today, that we need to return, and we need to turn back to our God who holds us in the palm of His hands. And maybe, just maybe, this message is too old for us. Maybe we've just become so educated that we think we have no need for a message as simple as this. Look to God. Ask of Him. Ask from His hand. But maybe, just maybe, we'll be provided for by the institutions of this nation. Maybe that's what we're looking to. Maybe we're pretty stoked over $600. Just maybe. Can you pay your mortgage payment with that? I can't. And I'm doing quite well. There's a lot of people that are a lot, lot worse off. Are we looking for institutions? Was it not an eye-opener for each and every one of us when our nation stands up and says, we will help? But yet $700 billion goes to other nations. What are we looking to? Be angry at me if you want. But what are we looking to? Does that stand for you in our capital that they're on our side and they see our straits? Is it wrong to speak this? Probably, hey? But it's the beginning of a new year. And in the beginning of a new year, we need to ask God to open our eyes. And to see in reality when 11% of a stimulus package only goes to the American people. And yet the Congress themselves gives a $25 million raise to themselves. There is an issue. And I'm bringing out the issue, not that we fight government, but that we look to God the Father to bring answers instead of looking to our political means and realms to take care of these things. I don't get it. Are we to be silent? Return to, O Israel, to the Lord your God, because you have stumbled. If we started naming the issues going on in this world, if we started naming the issues, and I don't like to name sin, but what I'm saying is there are a lot of things that are corrupt, not just in our politics. It is time for America to turn to God the Father through Jesus Christ. It is time for us to wake up. And I'm willing, in all honesty, to vote, put my job on the line for this. Because it's getting crazy. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, because you have stumbled. You've gone wayward. You've looked in the wrong direction. You've gone through all these processes. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Take with you these words. Lord, help us. Strengthen us. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge that we have fallen. We acknowledge that we have sinned. We've looked to the wrong thing. He says, take this with you. He says, and speak to your God. How often do we speak to our God? How often do we personally stop and take time during our day to speak to our God and to ask him to heal our iniquities? Job, he went out and offered sacrifice for all his children. Just in case. Just in case. Are we any different? Would we not stop in prayer for our children, not stop in prayer for our nation, not stop and pray for the world? And ask God in reality to overlook our iniquities and to heal? We love when political people stand up and read that part of Scripture. If we cry out unto the Lord, he will but heal our nation. Does it just take pence to do that? Or can we all cry the same? Take away our iniquity. Accept what is good. In other words, our worship, whatever we offer with our lips that is honorable to you. Receive what is good. He says, and we will give sacrifice. Allow us to know what the proper sacrifice is. And of this time it was bulls. And then vows of our lips, basically giving honor and respect back to God where it belongs. He says, Assyria will not save us. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying, there's no other government that's going to come here and take care of this problem for us. See, the children of Israel went through this before with Rome. Not before, after. With Rome. They figured that Rome would help them, and they made a deal with Rome, and they actually went under the protection of Rome, but Rome became actually their terrorist. The Rome is the one that held Israel down. And they were waiting for their freedom for Rome. They were waiting for a king such as David to come. And when they saw Jesus the Christ, some thought this was the one. This is the one that's going to make our earthly kingdom all the better, and we're going to have our place once again. Jesus was the one to heal. But it wasn't in the way that they thought. We still claim to those things when we start looking to Israel today. We still claim to those things when we look to our presidents today. You know my feelings about Trump, but he is not my savior. He will not save this nation. He will not save this world. And I'm a supporter, whether you like it or not. It is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who will save our nation. Has saved the world through his blood. But the proclamation needs to be known. Do I think that God is using him? Absolutely. You can write me a letter if you want. Go ahead, get your pen out, write me a letter and tell me that I'm bad. That's fine. This is America. You can have your opinions. I don't hate you for it. Don't hate me. But if you think anybody else is going to save us in this country, aside from God, And we all have problems. He says, Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses. It's not going to be solved by going into battles and to wars. We're not going to turn around and say anymore. And this is a call of repentance. Our God to the work of our hands. In other words, we in reality are not going to create our God. But you, in you the orphans will find mercy. It is not our work of our hands. It is through the mercy of God the Father that we will live. We will stand. We will rise. There's a saying that's going on so strongly out there, and I'm not saying that I disagree with it, but it's a saying of Stand Up America. Stand up America in Christ. It is in Christ that we stand. It is in Him that we are firm. And it is by Him that we will move forward. He says, to the work of our hands, we cannot claim fame to, but we look to your mercy as orphans. And then God turns around and he gives response. He says, I will heal their apostasy. In other words, their ill worship, their issues, their struggles. He says, and I will love them freely. See, God loves us and he desires for restoration for us. He desires for us all to be his children and be strengthened. And he says, and my anger will be turned from them. And we see this. It takes place. He says, and I will be like the dew to Israel. In other words, to bring forth this moisture, to bring forth blessing out of dryness. He says, and out of this he will blossom. He says, like the lily. Isn't that amazing? In the New Testament, Jesus tells us, you know, Solomon had the best dressing in the whole world. That guy had everything that he needed. He said, but the lily of the fields are more beautiful than he ever could be. And then he turns around in this Old Testament here, and God tells us very straightforward through Hosea. He says, when I bring dew to Israel, she will blossom, or he will blossom like the lilies. It'll be so beautiful you won't even be able to take it in. He shall take root like the tree of Lebanon. In other words, be immovable, to be strengthened. And his roots actually will go out and spread his beauty and shall be like the olive and a fragrance like the Lebanon, that everybody would desire it. He says, and they shall dwell, they shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. In other words, to be protected by God. And what? They should flourish. We keep looking for restoration in the wrong areas. We keep looking for restoration through only man's means, but our restoration is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And this has been accomplished upon the cross of Golgotha. And he has been resurrected for each and every one of us, that we would have life and that we could have it abundantly. And this is a call in reality that we wouldn't live in fear, but we'd rather live in victory, no matter what may be going on. And that we'd stop looking to the edicts of men to straighten out all our issues. Yes, we do our part. Yes, we do our voting, whatever it may be. Even that's questionable today, if that'll work. Oh, now that was a slam, Pastor. Well, I don't know. In 2016, the other side said it wasn't working. Be real. Be real. It is by God the Father that we will have hope. And I truly believe that as we, as a nation, as a people, and as a world, if we will stop and we will pray, or is that too old-fashioned? We will pray for our people that God will come and he will bless. He says, they will flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Their frame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Everybody will hear about it. Oh, Ephraim, what do I have to do with idols? Let's change this a little bit. Because this is not a God of history. This shows the heart of God. Well, child of God, what do I have to do with idols? Why are we looking to them? What do I have to do with idols? It is I who answer, and it is I who look after you. He says, I'm like the evergreen cypress that would spread so far. He says, and from me comes your bounty, your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright, those that are made right, walk in them. So how do we stand? Sure. Stand up, America. Stand in Jesus Christ, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. It says very plainly in the Gospel of John, without me, Jesus says, not Jesse, not Paul, not any other individual. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. We stand as God's children. We stand free. But we stand free to serve him. Are we serving him? Or do we look to other things to save us? He says, walk upright in them. He says, but the transgressor, the one that doesn't under these things, he'll stumble. Isn't that amazing? Even says in the New Testament that Jesus Christ is a stumbling block, a scandalon, to those that don't understand. See, we're not fighting flesh and blood. That hasn't changed. Don't think that I got this all figured out. God speaks this to me too. Jesse, you're getting wrong, mad at the wrong people. You're getting mad at human beings that in reality have sold out to a deception. We're not fighting flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers. And if I'm wrong, then we need to shut this door. We need to be done with all this stuff. But I do not believe I'm wrong. I don't believe it became 2020 and God said, well, you know all the prophecy that I gave you and all that else? It's over now. Now we're going to figure out a new way. Brothers and sisters in Christ, of all times ever in our lifetimes for sure, it is a time to pray. It is a time to stand. And stand not in fear, but in Christ Jesus, because he is the answer to all of these things. God knew it, and he knows it. Hosea knew it, and God used him as a living example. And Hosea rebuilt his relationship with his wife. He couldn't do it alone. It was by the power of God that he could do this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, my heart is heavy. I am very concerned for our nation. I ask that on the 6th, you pray. And if you want to take me in my office privately and chastise me for bringing politics in, go ahead. I'm not saying you will, but if you want to, that's fine. That's your right. I am genuinely, my wife says I'm consumed. So forgive me for being consumed. But I'm concerned about the volatility of what's going to take place down in D.C. on the 6th. And I'm just asking for peace. That's what I'm asking for. You have two opposite sides that don't agree. And they're going together. And we've been frustrated for 10 months because this was going to be 2 weeks. And it's turned into 10 months. Pray for those people. Pray for our nation that they can remain calm. Because this is serious. I will try to resist talking about any of this stuff in the future. But I feel we need to pray for those all going down there. And I'm not saying whether I agree or disagree about going down there. But there is that happening, and we need to pray that God's presence will be there to keep a peace. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that you love us. And Father, we know that we have a tendency as human beings to get so sidetracked and caught up. We know, Father, that you continually speak to us through your word. And yet often, Father, we have a tendency as humans not to read that word, to take it in, and to be assured by it. Not saying everybody, Lord, not a blanket statement. But Father, if they started putting this word out on TikTok or Facebook, we surely would hear it. But Father, we pray that you would just allow for this upcoming event that's supposed to be taking place this week, that you would keep peace, that you would be with each and everyone that would go down there, that they would have a goal of restoration amongst the people and for our nation above and beyond everything else. Father, we ask that there would not be any fighting, that there not be any struggle, and Father, we hand this whole situation over to you. We ask that you be with us as a nation. Whoever you would cause to lead us, we pray that you would allow forgiveness and encouragement to go forward, and Father, that suspicion would be subdued. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you also would bless whoever it is in that position and allow their heart to be transformed no matter who it is. We pray for every one of our leaders. We pray for integrity. We pray for honesty. We pray, Father, that you would bless them also and that you would allow them to follow your will in your way. Because we know, Father, your will and your way is perfect and it is righteous. We call for repentance even in our nation, and I call for repentance even within myself or anyone else that would need it. But we ask, Father, that the word would call that repentance. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to be with us as we enter out into this week, that you would allow us as a community to move forward, to love one another, encourage one another, and allow us all to feel free and safe to do what we are called to do, but to respect others in our community. We thank you for the ability to freely worship. We pray that this continues, and we pray, Father, that you also would just allow that your word would go forward, that we would have a newspaper in one hand, but that we would have the Bible in the other, that we would not forget the times we live in, but rather, Father, that we would look to you for the answers of the times we live in. Be with our youth, be with our elders, be with those that are hurting economically, that can't work. Father, allow that our businesses could be opened, and that people could be safe. We ask it all in Christ's name. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.